Joining us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, anxious to hear his thoughts on this. He's our Browns beat reporter. He's come up for air after the draft, after sleeping for four straight days. He is Daryl Ryder. Hello, Daryl.
Can I get things said since 1999 for 500, Alex?
I knew he was going to go
there. He says them more sincerely, Daryl. He says them with less ego. He says them more matter-of-factly. No?
We'll find out starting this fall, hopefully.
Are you impressed by this guy, or does he just sound like everybody since 1999?
I mean, he hits all the right notes, says the right things. The proof will be in the wins and losses, right? I mean, that's ultimately where he's going to be evaluated. That's ultimately where Andrew Berry's going to be evaluated, is, you know, how the team is able to perform on the field. You know, we've had a lot of right things said, since 1999. Everyone's come in, talked about turning this thing around and, you know, turning the franchise to glory and whatnot, I will say this, the biggest difference that I notice with these two versus, you know, other people that have come in and said the right things is right out of the gate, they seem to be doing the right things. There's no conflicting messages being sent between them, which we have seen in the past. They really do seem to be working together. The comment that I liked most from Kevin yesterday with Bolden Fox was when he talked about being in it with Andrew Berry, and he said something to the effect of, why make it harder on myself? And I think is something that really hits home, considering everything we have observed this franchise go through in the last 21 years. So, they've made a very favorable first impression since January.
Can we rate this relationship based on past relationships between general managers and head coaches?
What is it? Bachelor Cleveland Browns edition, Baskin?
Didn't we already have that? Wasn't Baker on that this year?
I think he was supposed to, and then they scrapped it, didn't they?
Yeah, I want to believe it, Daryl, man. I want to believe it. I want to believe these guys are on the same page. I want to believe all this stuff is there. I mean,
words are words. I mean, that's good.
Is this as close as we've seen to being in sync since Pat Shurmur? I mean, Jeff and I talked about it, that Pat Shurmur was in sync with the front office because, you know, he didn't feel like he was in power. It didn't feel like... You know, it felt like, well, if Mike Holmgren wanted to say something, then it was going to change. It does feel like for the first time that we've got guys that are on the same page. It's like I said before, man, I want to put my foot on the gas pedal and go 60, but I'm super scared and I'm only going to drive 15 miles an hour.
Well, they sound like they're equal partners. With Shurmur, it was when Holmgren spoke, everyone fell in line. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't a lot of equality there. I think that that's where this kind of stands apart a little bit, is that they're equal partners in this. And that's not to say that Dorsey and Kitchens weren't equal partners, but they really sound like they have taken ownership of that equal partnership between them, that they realize that their success or failure is going to be determined by how well they work together.
Daryl Ryder's joining us, our Browns beat reporter. I always have a little bit of a conflict in my head when a coach talks about his system and my scheme and blah, 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 and then they go out of their way to find pieces to fit a scheme rather than finding the best pieces, just coach them up and develop your scheme around those pieces. But in this situation, the Browns had a lot of pieces on the offensive side of the ball, and they've added just a couple more. You know, in Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant, a couple of tight ends that you went from thinking the tight ends might need a little bit of a boost to now being, boy, you got a lot of guys there now. And, you know, maybe you need another wide receiver or whatever. But do you get the feeling that Stefanski has his scheme and that's what he does, Daryl? Or that he's the type of coach who can coach him up, no matter what he has out there? Or is that way too early to ask?
It's too early to ask. We haven't even watched practice yet. But, it looks like it's a little bit of both. He can scheme for what he's got to play with, but also at the same time, it appears that he's been given the type of players that he needs to do what he wants to do, right? So, sure, depth at receivers was still a little bit of concern. That's even with them bringing back Rashard Higgins and drafting Peoples Jones. The tight end room is rather crowded right now, but that's something that's going to sort itself out. How many times, do we go into training camp saying this position's crowded, they have an abundance of talent, and then we get 3 weeks into the season, we go, man, they really don't have anything there. Hopefully that's not going to be the issue with that tight end situation, but it's why I'm not overly concerned about, if they have enough footballs to spray around to keep everybody happy, because those things have always found a way of working itself out. And unfortunately, in the Browns, when we talk about the Browns, it's always been in a very negative way. You know what I mean? I mean, people got hurt, people weren't performing, So right now it looks like an abundance of tight ends, but I'm pretty confident that stuff's going to, really kind of work itself out as they go through their, the training camp, the preseason, and get into the regular season.
Daryl, over free agency and now through the draft, is this offense built for Baker Mayfield, or is this offense built more for Kevin Stefanski's offense, and it could be plug and play no matter who's under center?
Well, I think it's built for Kevin Stefanski's offense, but I think that Baker Mayfield can fit perfectly within Kevin Stefanski's offense, if that makes any type of sense. And especially
absolutely
with the use of, the tight ends. I think that is something that really can benefit and help Baker. One of the things that we saw last year with Mayfield was not getting the ball out fast enough. Maybe he was waiting too long for Jarvis and Odell to get themselves open, whatever, right? There was the statistic that if he had the ball out of his hands in less than 2.9 seconds, his completion percentage was like in the 60 percentile range. And when he held the ball longer than that, his completion percentage was around 50%, right? So if they can get the ball out of his hands faster, he's going to be successful. Well, one of the ways you do that is you create those quick hitting plays and you get the ball in the hands of guys that can get those yards after the catch to create those dynamic plays. Everyone wants to think of the, the big hitter plays, you're throwing it 40, 50 yards down the field. Nah, you can throw a 5-yard pass and have it turn into a 25-yard completion, if you've schemed up things well and you've designed things well. So I think it's a combination of both, Andy, where it's, the roster's built for Stefanski, and Stefanski's scheme can be built around not only the roster, but Baker Mayfield.
Daryl Ryder's joining us, our Browns beat reporter here at 92.3 The Fan. A little later on, Daryl, we're going to take a look at the wide receivers on this team. And as I was doing some stuff looking at them last night, I thought, I love the top two guys. I like Rashard Higgins. But this crew seems to be screaming for a veteran who's been there, done that, maybe can, and I don't want him to be a coach. I want him to be productive. The name I've thrown out in the past was a guy like Ted Ginn. And I thought, you add a guy like that to this team, like there are a couple other guys out there who are available. And then I saw a story about Clay Matthews, and we brought up Clay before, and I thought, the linebackers are kind of like the wide receivers, except without two guys who are absolute studs in Odell and Jarvis. Could this team use some veterans who clearly their best years would be behind them, but they could still be productive and they could help these guys, or is that not necessary?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying there. I think that Jarvis and Odell are professional enough to handle things at receiver. I mean, those guys were 24/7, 365 on their game, okay? There is not a work ethic issue there when it comes to receiver. I certainly will hear the argument at linebacker because quite frankly, I don't think they really have a lot at linebacker, and tight ends are just going to absolutely destroy them this year. Just looking at it on paper, I like Mack Wilson a lot. I think he's got a lot of potential, but he is unproven. Let's call it the way it is. Jacob Phillips, love the pick in the third round, but he's unproven. So they're unproven at linebacker. So from that standpoint, Jeff, yeah, sure, I'd be all aboard, bringing in a veteran presence there. But I don't see the need at receiver just because, again, I have no issue with the work ethic of Odell or Jarvis Landry. I think that both of them will be a positive example for a kid like Peoples-Jones, as far as showing them, what it takes to prepare your body for the season and what you need to be doing off the field, how you need to study and stuff like that. I don't have any concerns with leadership in the receiver room.
Hey, Daryl and Andy, if I can interject real quick, it wasn't even a work ethic thing. It was more like, I wonder if Baker could use another real veteran guy there, as opposed to the young guys who are really trying to emerge. But I get your thought on it, and I agree with you. I agree with you on wide receiver because I really like Jarvis and Odell, and I like the way they've led already in that position group. But boy, I think the linebackers are absolutely screaming for something more.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like I said, I think that group really could use another body. They're young, they're unproven, they're raw. But Andrew Berry, said it yesterday with the guys in the morning that, hey, the offseason's not over for him. He's still out there looking at what's available and trying to, supplement the roster. So, who's to say he doesn't go out and bring in another player there? I certainly would recommend it. We definitely see eye to eye on that one, Jeff.
Hey, Daryl, and this is just kind of a curveball at you, and I'm just curious if you've even thought about it, but are there any of these undrafted rookie free agents that kind of you look at and go, that might have a shot? That guy might be able to make the team. Is there anybody on that list?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of guys that potentially could, make some waves or, be a benefit for them. I'm pulling up my list right now because I don't have the names off the top of my head.
Sure.
So just kind of give me a second here.
Yeah, and I also think more towards position too, not even the names, but what position would have the best opportunity to have a rookie free agent kind of, knock our socks off and be one of those guys that we're watching during preseason, if we have a preseason, that we're like, whoa, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, the thing with undrafted rookie free agents, we know what they're doing there. You're trying to find players. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're trying to strike lightning in the bottle. And what we've learned from Andrew Berry is for all this talk about how difficult life was going to be on general managers to be able to do some things, he's not had any problems doing this, at all. He's had no problem finding players that can come in and play. Okay, I got my list here. The kid from Liberty University, Solomon Ajayi, I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Okay.
He's a linebacker. He's certainly going to have an opportunity to come in here and do something. Oklahoma, the A.J. Green, the cornerback from Oklahoma State, that potentially could end up being a rather significant get for them. Brian Herrien, the running back from Georgia, again, another player that could come in and kind of make some waves. I know they're pretty much set at running back with their top two guys in Kareem and Nick Chubb, but hey, could he come in and steal that third running back spot? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then Alex Taylor from the South Carolina State, he's an offensive tackle.
6'8".
Could potentially be, that, 6th or 7th offensive or 8th offensive. The new CBA, they added an offensive lineman. So could he be that additional offensive lineman? So that's 3-4 guys right there out of the list of, 15 or so that we are pretty sure are coming to the Cleveland Browns. I think those would be the three or four guys that would have a tremendous opportunity to be able to contribute quickly.
Yeah, the Taylor
so keep your
kid,
eye on them.
He's 6'8" and a former basketball player at tackle, so they like the way he can move. And Ajayi is Jay Ajayi's brother,
yeah.
Former running back with the Dolphins and the Eagles, so that'll be fun to watch. Daryl, have you rested up since the draft? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm off today. I'll be off tomorrow. I got a 4-day weekend to sit around the house and twiddle my thumbs. So.
Nice. Congratulations on that. We thank you for your time today, buddy.
I'll be watching squirrels and birds. You guys have a great weekend.
Ooh, I heard the birds are 4.5-point favorites. The birds are.
Squirrel and bird watcher joining us here on the North Homestead
Chrysler
Jeep Dodge Ram. Thank you, D.